everyone. Welcome once again to episode 6 of the Amateur Voice Actor Roundtable Podcast. This is TZM Hero speaking, and I am joined by...
Nitrocosm.
And Killrod X. I am not Starchild.
Yes, you are not Starchild. You are not filling in for his great big shoes this time. You're kind of the permanent guy. In fact, if Starchild came in, he would be like the guest. It's very strange. Things switched very quickly. So how you guys been doing?
Not too bad.
Busy as hell.
Well, that's how life is sometimes. I found a job.
Ooh, what type of job?
I rent out storage units. I rent storage units to people, and then I also rent budget trucks to people. So it's a good job. I enjoy it. I feel like I'm helping people, that kind of thing, you know?
Nice to have money.
Well, yeah. I mean, minimum wage is minimum wage, but hey, I mean, that's better than nothing at all, and... I may only work weekends, but I do know what my hours are going to be every month in advance. So it's not like going to work and trying to figure out what your hours are going to be that week, you know what I mean? Like most jobs. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I myself personally haven't been up to much. Just school getting me pretty bad to the point that I actually had to have very own Killrod X here fill in for me for his Xenogears dub. So, oh well, at least Billy didn't have very many lines that episode. Although one of my friends, my friend Paul, who watches the Xenogears dub, one of my friends in real life that actually watches it, it's kind of strange because he's a really big fan of yours, he said he couldn't tell the difference. So I guess I'm easily replaced. What have you been up to?
Been up to quite a few things, actually. For starters, I brought back the forums on my website, completely rewrote the forum software from scratch, added a ton of new features, added some new features to the main site as well. Forum activities picked up quite a bit, and thanks to both of you guys for joining. Other than that, I've been doing a lot of freelancing work, working with some stuff that I'm not really allowed to talk about under the contract, but it's some pretty interesting stuff. It's Flash-based.
Oh, interesting.
Learning some new things about Flash there. There's some other stuff, but I can't really think of all the stuff off the top of my head. It's just mostly been a lot of programming. It's pretty much doing nothing but programming.
Yeah, I need to learn how to do a lot of that stuff.
All right, as for myself, college work. Xenogears Dub Season 2.5 has started about a couple of weeks ago, so we're officially back in business. Luganei Terminate is still on hiatus. I'm also starting up another project involved Dynasty Warriors 6 Empires. I will be updating people on that in the near future. Starting up another Forza project idea. I'm also on the Voice Actor Alliance forums, even though I'm kind of more of a lurker, so not really too known. And just occupying myself with the Xbox. That's about it.
Beyond that, anything else you guys have been up to? Playing any games? Seen any shows? Danced any dance? Seen any movies? Breathed any air?
I've been doing a lot of that air breathing. It's very intense stuff.
It is. Because if you forget, then you just kind of wake up in a ditch somewhere, and you're like, how did I get... Oh, I forgot.
Ooh, hey guys, guess what I'm trying to do, and I want to see if you guys would like to see something like this. How would you guys like to see a feature in the forums that, in addition to being able to post images, you can click something and it pops up a window, and you can actually draw something right there in the browser and post it?
Oh, Kaki? Yeah, those are cool.
I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah, those are really cool. I think DeviantArt just started putting that on there as well.
Yeah, they've got one.
Well, as long as it doesn't slow down my browser, I'm all for it.
I think you can have multiple people in the thing, and then you could be like, I scribble a picture, they scribble a picture. Oh, you so silly, you made my picture naughty.
That's paint chat, and that's a little different. I don't know if I can implement that.
Let's see, as for shows, I don't watch TV. YouTube doesn't count. Actually, that movie Skyline that's coming out November 12th, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
What are your thoughts on that?
You've already seen it, or you're wanting to see it?
Oh, I'm going to want to see it.
Does it look like the next Avatar?
Well, actually, have you seen the trailer for it, TZM?
You know what? I haven't. Could you describe it to me? Because I'm not going to be able to watch it, like, live or anything.
Well, basically, aliens come to Earth, and all of a sudden, people are sucked up into spaceships. Very cool stuff.
Oh. So basically, Xenogears.
Kind of. And next time you actually go see a trailer or something, check it out. It's actually pretty cool.
I'll have to do that. It sounds interesting, just from your basic idea that you gave me. I do want to see Tron Legacy. when that comes out, just because...
Our movie theater has advanced tickets for that already. I haven't even gone to get mine yet.
I don't know if my movie theater even does advanced tickets. I think they did for, like, the Twilight movies, but that's it. I mean, I live in kind of a small town, so it's not like we can really... I doubt they could afford doing super advanced tickets, you know?
Don't get me started on Twilight.
It is a time of day when the sun...
Yeah, it's like you're looking at the sky, and all of a sudden you're like, OMG, did sun died?
Yes.
Quick, cast the sparkles. It will resurrect itself in 12 hours.
Come on, I can do it. I can cast the spell.
Okay, you guys don't know what that's from.
The sparkly vampire.
I think I do.
Dragon Quest commercial.
It's like I was listening earlier to one of our older episodes, and you started doing the whole whack-a-mole thing. I just started busting up.
Oh. What's that from? Was that from one of the...
And you're all like, you look like a whack-a-mole. I was like, what is
you
that?
You look like a whack-a-mole. I forgot, what was that? Was that one of the podcasts?
Yeah.
It was like an episode or two back.
And I yet to, until recently, listen to the end of episode 5. So I finally listened to that, and I was like, oh, hey, he sped up my voice. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that happened. I was like, what is it? Then just kill Red X. Wow. Afterwards.
Oh, and I just remembered, one of my friends was really going to join us for the podcast, and apparently he had a gripe about Metal Gear Solid that you said something, TZM.
Oh, what?
I don't remember what it was. I don't remember. Well, it's nothing bad, just, I don't know if he wanted to correct you, or just kind of, like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, all I remember saying is that Solid Snake sounds like he's always, like, on edge about everything. Like, he's just constantly, war has changed, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, just calm down. Drink a soda.
Or maybe he just wanted to talk about Metal Gear.
Well, any excuse to start talking about Metal Gear is worth talking about. I mean, come on. But, yeah, speaking of fans of the podcast, I had mentioned my friend Paul, and KillRedX, he really enjoyed the Mugen AI tournament, and he really enjoying Xenogears dub. And, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I just got done finished watching the last episode, and I was like, I forgot you even watched that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm really into it. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, we were going to go into about anime conventions, I guess, our experiences with them, what kind of conventions we've been to, differences, I guess you could say, between them, ups and downs, things like that. Speaking of which, the listeners, all three of you, including the people recording this podcast, they didn't know, but we had originally planned to do episode 6, somewhere around, early July, around the 1st through the 4th, when I was going to Anime Expo, because I wanted to record from there and be like, oh my gosh, I'm at Anime Expo, everyone, you know? And, my hotel room didn't have an internet connection.
Hate when that happens.
So it kind of put a hamper on that whole thing. I mean, it was great, because it was literally like half a mile from there to the actual convention, so it made it really easy to walk there, but me and my friend Adam were just kind of like, there's no internet connection, why are we here, what is going on? Anyways, yeah, anime conventions, like, so the only ones I've ever been to were Anime Expo for the last 3 years, and they've been fun. Like, I got to see the Trigun movie before the first airing in America of the Trigun movie, I guess, with subtitles. Because I guess they had aired it.
When's that going to be released?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. I mean, it was in Japan. It's been out. But I don't know when it's going to be actually out. Like, it wasn't out on DVD or anything. It was just still in theaters in Japan when I saw it. So, and it was kind of... I mean, it was official subtitles, but they were still choppy. Like, direct translation subtitles. But they had, like, the director there, and he was like, yeah, these are the subtitle version, so go ahead and watch it. We were all like, yay! Which was kind of cool, seeing as they announced the Trigun movie at last year's Anime Expo. So, to be able to announce it and then the next year have it is kind of cool to me. But beyond that, the biggest experience I had was going to the first of the four new Evangelion movies coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see that, the first one in English for the first time it was out before it came out on DVD or anything. I got to see that, like, sneak peek, which was really cool. And then went to like a question and answer session with a bunch of the voice actors from it and everything. They were there actually watching the movie, so it was interesting.
You know, I'm really looking forward to those new ones because I was extremely disappointed in the old movies. But speaking of the voice actors, and this will go into some of my con stories, is when I went to CCon 2003 in South Bend, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I met some people from my forums up there. I met Kyler and Atropos and Scaife. But I met Tristan McAvery, the guy that voices Gendo's English voice.
Well, the first voice. They changed a lot of the voice actors. I mean, all they have is Shinji and Misato back, basically.
The only con I've ever been to is Garasu no Shikan. I was in Perrysburg, Ohio. That was back in 2009. And for the record, I drove to Ohio. Fact, if you're going to drive through Pennsylvania, make sure that you have something to keep yourself occupied, because it was an 8-hour straight run through the state of Pennsylvania. It was a small con. There wasn't too much going on. It was their first ever attempt at actually hosting a con, so there were events not too much organized, and with new cons and small things, not many people showed up. They did have an arcade room, though, so I spent a majority of my time there. Never been to a big con. I think next year I'm going to go to Anime Next, which isn't too far from me. And, yeah, that's pretty much my con experience. Actually, since I've been to a small con, what do you think is really important about the big cons? Like, what draws people to them?
Well, I think for the big conventions like Anime Central, that's the biggest convention by far that I've been to. The main thing that draws people there are the guests. You gotta have guests that as many anime fans as possible are familiar with, that are from their favorite anime. So you kinda need to find out, you know, what's the most popular anime at the time. And sometimes that means, you know, going with the really mainstream stuff that maybe the hardcore anime fans kinda roll their eyes at. But if you can get anyone having to do with those really popular series, that'll really draw in the crowds.
Well, yeah, and it's like, there's, I mean, like, those last few years, it's like, oh, hey, they got Johnny Young Bosch again, because he goes to basically every anime convention.
He's also in a majority of animes and video games. Yeah, basically people are, I think, getting tired of Johnny Young Bosch.
Well, and what's funny is, like, there is a show, you guys may have known that I was, you know, a fan of a series called Kamen Rider. There is an American version of the series. And for some strange reason, when they decided to do the video game of it, he did the voice of the main character. And it was like, what? Why? The show is undeniably crap, and yet it's like, I'm slightly interested just because Johnny Young Bosch is doing the voice for the character. And
that's because if it has Johnny Young Bosch, it'll get profits.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, well, and his voice didn't even fit the character, like, at all. I was like, what? I don't even, what? Okay. And that just kind of felt like they just were like, okay, yeah, you're just the random voice actor group here. You guys dub this game. Tony Oliver, get work, because he's the one who usually does voice directing for those sort of things.
I've got a question for you guys. At conventions, what is your biggest pet peeve? What's one thing about anime conventions that you would change if you could?
Well, this isn't exactly a change, but it is a pet peeve. People have been to big conventions and then complain about how a small con is run, how things, there should be this and there should be that, this shouldn't be here. Basically, people who are sometimes mostly spoiled by big cons.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of afraid of going to a big con, because if I go to that and I go to a con that's really small and starting out, I'm probably going to be the same way. Or I'm just going to have high expectations. It's like, oh, you don't have Johnny Young Bosch. What the heck? I'm out of here. Bye.
And he's like, no, wait, I'll be here. I'm going to be here totally. I met all of them. That's all I do. I actually don't record voices. I use the DeLorean to go back in time to record things because I don't have time to do it.
Marty!
Because I'm always at cons.
Great start, I missed Anime Expo. We've got to go back.
To the future!
Alright, well, TZM, what's your pet peeve?
My pet peeve is something that really can't be changed. Well, I mean, like I said before, the only one I've been to is Anime Expo. And 9 times out of 10, they're pretty good at structuring things so everything's good and everything. Just having crowd control and stuff when you've got like a booth about to go up or part of it, say when I was wanting to see the Trigun movie. Me and my friend are like, okay, we'll get in line about 2 hours early. Yeah, that was way too late. We were at the end of the line, but they had run out of line space twice. They had created a new section for the line, and then that ran out of room. So they were just literally told, Yeah, just kind of wait around in the middle and wait for the line to start going in and find a spot.
Oh, guys, I've got a line nightmare story.
Well, that was pretty bad.
I wouldn't want to stand in line for over 2 hours. Unfortunately, the one time I... Well, at Anime Central, because it's so popular and such a big convention, there's only so much they can do, granted. But they've really improved over the years, because in 2003, the first year that I went, the way they had the line set up is it stretched all the way outside the hotel. Well, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I have a severe allergy to cigarette smoke.
Uh-oh.
And when you're standing outside, that's where everyone decides to take the smoke breaks. And everyone in line had to smoke. And I couldn't get out of line to avoid the smoke. So I had to sit there and I had to stand right there and just breathe it all the whole time for 2 hours standing outside in the line. I was just as sick as the dog that weekend.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I mean, they didn't know. The year after that, they arranged where the line would just wrap around in the main convention center, and still long lines, and there's not a whole lot they can do because they get so many people there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing at Anime Expo, and so there really is not much more they can do. It's just I wish they were better organized. I mean, they're all volunteers. It's not like they're told, okay, this is how you organize stuff.
Exactly, and it's the same way at Anime Central, and they've improved vastly, huge improvements in their, not only their crowd control, but how they handle the lines and registration. And in 2004, 2005, 2007, it was much, much, much faster. I spent less than an hour in line in 2007 because they had the thing organized so well.
Well, and it's just really all a matter of getting in line early, sadly. I remember I went, and my first year there, I was with my friend, and I said, hey, I'm going to go do this thing because they have... I had mentioned him earlier. His name's Tony Oliver. He's a kind of well-known in anime circles voice director. 90% of, like, Funimation and stuff like that, animes, he was the voice director on, and he's pretty good at it. But he also does voice acting himself. He was going to be hosting a Learn How to Voice Act panel, and I was like, oh, hey, I'm going to go do this, you know, because that was before I actually started doing the voice acting on YouTube and everything, so I was really interested in that at the time. So I went and got in line and stood there for 45 minutes, and then someone's like, hey, dude, you gonna go see David Hayter? And I was like, what, David Hayter? And he said, yeah, David Hayter's here. And I was like, wait, Solid Snake? And he said, yeah, he's doing a panel right now. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I ran over there, was in the way back of the booth, like, and it was a huge convention center type hall, you know? And, I mean, sure, I could hear the guy because of the microphone, but I couldn't see him, you know? And I was like, man, this is cool, you know? But then when I got back to do the voice acting thing, I had to stand in the back of the room there and didn't get to play, you know? I didn't get to play along with it because he was like, oh, yeah, anyone in the front row, if you were here from the beginning, and the guy just behind me got called up. I was like, I started punching the wall, slobbering. They had to make me leave. It was not fun. It's just knowing when to get in line when.
What other features, besides having good guests and having good crowd control and lines, do you guys like and think are important at conventions?
I would probably say events, especially like, I don't know, something... like a cosplay arena or cosplay chess, which is basically human chess but with cosplay characters. Those are really fun. Basically, that involves getting people up onto the stage or anything of that material.
Active participation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and it's like Anime Expo's big thing is they have what they call Axe Idol, which is a voice acting and singing competition where people can go into either the voice acting section or the singing section. And they compete to see who does the best, and they actually get something out of it. I think they get, like, a prize of some sort of, like, numerical gain. I'm not sure if it's, like, $1,000 or what it is, but it's actually really good. I don't remember what it was, but, like, for the voice acting thing, I think it was either money or you actually got a part in something.
Cool.
Like, professionally. So it was like, oh, snap. Yeah, those well-known voice actors were the, like, basically the judges, so... if anything, you got to meet them, you know?
You know what I really like at conventions, and Anime Central 2007 had this really well, instructional panels, like how to, a panel on voice acting, on how to, amateur voice act,
mm-hmm.
is good. Haven't actually attended one of those yet, but I went to the, last one I went to 2007 was the drawing panel.
Mm.
And they started off the panel like this. They said, okay, everyone, repeat after me. I suck. And when they did that, I was like, yep, this is going to be a good panel, because they're not going to they're not going to mince words, and they're actually going to give helpful advice. And they did. Actually, a funny story about that, actually, is I was trying to draw something when they were starting the panel, and the guy sitting next to me, seeing how bad my drawing was, he was like, eh, you know, getting ready to tell me everything I was doing wrong. And I was like, not now, because the people in the front of the room are talking to us. It's funny, because he ended up getting kicked out of the panel. He went to the back of the room and just started gabbing on his cell phone. And finally, they threw him out of the panel, so I thought that was pretty funny. But that was actually a really good panel. I actually learned a lot of stuff there.
Is there anyone specific you ever wanted to see at a convention you haven't had a chance to?
Nobody comes to mind at the moment. I think I have to go to more conventions to give you an answer, as you were.
You're like, whoever does the voice of that Faye guy in Xenogears, man, I'd love to meet him.
I was thinking that eventually, if Xenogears dubbed gets popular enough, Kill Ride X, TZM, you guys could end up being guests at a convention somewhere. Ikasucon, back when they had it in Cincinnati here in 2003. As small potatoes as I am, I was running a panel.
Oh, really?
The guy that does the comic Angel Moxie and Weesh and Realms of Ichikaze, Dan Hess, he and I did the webcomics panel, and four whole people showed up at our panel.
Oh, that's awesome.
But back then, Ikasucon was a small convention, and it's grown since then.
Well, I mean, I doubt I'd ever become well-known enough to be, like, voice acting on YouTube for dummies at Anime Expo or something. But then again, on the other hand, completely, they had a panel there that was, what do you think is going to be in the next Zelda game? And it was just some random fan somehow was hosting the panel.
Well, actually, that's just it. The only reason I was able to do the panels, because you don't really have to be famous to do a panel. It's just, if no one else wants to do the panel and you come up with the panel idea and they approve it, you're the guy that hosts the panel. But, you know, it's funny because Xenogears dubbed, from what I can tell, is actually pretty popular, and I wouldn't doubt it one bit if at some point that it's going to be featured at some convention. Might not be a big convention, might not be Anime Expo or Anime Central, but maybe starting out, maybe one of the smaller conventions would be interested.
Hopefully it will be in a good light.
Well, you don't want it to be like, how not to do voice acting featuring Xenogears dubbed.
Yeah.
And your host, the Koopa Queen.
Oh, you totally went there. Oh, you better hope she's not listening.
She'd be all like, listen to this TZM fellow. He's just all over the place, his grave. I much preferred the other person that did his voice.
Okay, another fun feature of cosplay. Well, actually, it's almost like going to a Renaissance fair. Dressing up as your favorite character. What are your thoughts on that?
I personally haven't done it just because I don't see myself, my body type, to be able to do that. But then again, I see a lot of people who don't have the right body type that shouldn't be cosplaying that cosplay, so I guess I can't say that as an excuse. But then again, a 300-pound Princess Zelda is interesting, to say the least.
I've seen worse.
Especially when it's a guy. I look at myself in the mirror and go, okay, well, I guess I could be Gordon Freeman if he let himself go. Because I kind of have the general shape, same beard and glasses and look. But on the other hand, I could just as easily shave the beard and be like, I'm Peter Griffin.
And as far as I go, cosplay is just not my bag.
I think I'd do it just to get an experience of what it's like from a cosplayer's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, I know people do kind of diss on certain cosplayers for what they do or how much effort they put into their costume. Yes, they're also highly evolved individuals who like to insult others. But it kind of goes the same way for going to, let's say, a Renaissance fair. You dress up, but it's kind of a bit more respectable because it's in ancient medieval times, and people are actually acting the character.
Yeah, everyone's into it.
If you guys have ever been to a LARP or heard of one, imagine if going to a LARP was all anime characters. How would you feel about that?
I'd like it, but I'm not into that.
I'd be interested in watching. I don't know if I would ever really get into it. Like, that's the thing. I mean, there's some people that do some really great cosplay. I mean, like, there's this group that goes to Anime Expo that dresses up as characters from Zelda, and they look just like them. It's like, oh my goodness. And then there was one guy I've seen twice now, who who dresses up as Vash the Stampede, like, oh my goodness, like, you can tell this guy put some money into it, because his coat is made, like, out of the leather kind of material. You just assume that's what Vash's coat is made out of, and he's, like, 7 feet tall, so he, and skinny, so he's, like, got the body type, you know? And it's just kind of like, oh my goodness. Also, I saw someone dressed up as Waldo, and I was like, I found Waldo.
I bet everyone was like that.
So, that made the convention worth doing. It made it worth going to, because I felt like I had done something in my life that was worth expressing, because I could never find him in the books. They always draw those pictures, so there's just so much going on. Explain what LARPing is, in case anyone who's listening doesn't understand.
LARPing is just like role-playing, but it's live-action role-playing. You dress up either as, let's say...
Oh, I didn't even know if that's what it meant. Wow.
It's just like dressing up as a Dungeons & Dragons character, or as I mentioned, an anime character, and you get a group of people who have the same hobby. You put them in the woods, you give them a bunch of rules, and everyone has fun. Kind of.
Until they get kicked out for trespassing.
And if you're wielding an actual weapon that can cause bodily harm.
Well, and what's funny is people might frown on that, and yet you'll have people who do the Civil War reenactments when that's literally the exact same thing.
Yes, it is.
There's really no difference, and yet people will be like, oh, well, let's pay to watch this.
Now imagine LARPing as a pay-per-view event with actual weapons.
Like actual death.
It'll be called D&D Extreme.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Extreme LARPing.
This sword gives me a +10 to slicing things in half.
Well, extreme LARPing always ends up
on fire.
With a huge crater in the ground wherever the LARPing took place. It eventually escalates to nuclear weapons.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the obvious next step after sword.
Now starting into Sid Meier's civilization.
Well, I mean, I always figured it, I mean, like, someone just decided, they're like, okay, I've been playing Final Fantasy too much, I'm gonna cast Meteor. And, that's the obvious kind of thing to be the similar thing as a nuke.
Yeah, solve everything with nuclear weapons.
Well, yeah.
You know, the moon's just about to crash into the earth, what do? You want your nuke. Aliens are coming to invade the planet, what do? Want your nuke. Pray that they don't have something that'll turn into a little percussion.
Burger King put onions on your burger, you launch a nuke.
Of course. The answer for everything. It's like, why'd you launch that nuke at him? You wanted the onions.
Actually, completely off-topic thing. I was reading on Facebook, a friend of mine posted an article. Apparently someone in Britain was accused of doing trolling, actually posting offensive material, and they actually got sent to jail for about, I think it was 18 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. The new anti-cyberbullying bills. They're actually going to do that in the United States now, too. You say something that offends someone, you go to jail.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully it won't be taken too out of context, because places like 4chan, YouTube, maybe Facebook, maybe 2channel, yeah, those places are going to become very obsolete soon with the cyberbullying bills.
Microsoft announced that they are going to propose requiring a license to use an internet connection where you are identified, kind of like a social security number that positively identifies you. You have to have an ID, that way they can track and trace everything that's said. So if you do break any of these new regulations, they'll know who to go after.
I can see good and bad with this, but again...
Yeah. Also, what that might do is, since you would have to get a license, you'd probably have to pay money to do it. And I know some people are like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal when it comes to like, oh yeah, I'll just pay money to play a video game. But it's like when the internet first kind of started, you had people who typically, like in the first years of the internet, you typically had like a higher sort of learning set of people, because it wasn't like, this was before the time of like AOL for everyone and stuff like that. You really had to spend some money to have the internet. So when you had a forum, it usually had people who were a lot more literate than they are now. So I wonder if that would kind of swing back to that direction.
Yeah, back then the internet was more of a academic and military tool rather than a public access thing. But then when it was commercialized, then they started promoting it. Now, if they pass these regulations, it is going to decommercialize the internet significantly, because the access is going to change so much.
Things like Facebook wouldn't even work.
The equivalent to a scientific theory. First, the internet was the Big Bang, and then it's going to collapse on itself and become the Big Crunch.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, but I wanted to add one more thing on a technical side. If this happens, there will be an underground internet. People will find a way to ad hoc wireless together, and it'll be like a physical layer to Tor.
Interesting. I'd be totally for that. You will be the creator of this underground internet. We will call it the Underground Internet Railroad?
The new licensed internet's called Internet 2 or something like that. Well, this would be Internet 3.
Yeah, or Internet R. Good night, everybody. You know what? Something I actually found out is I've been, partially you as well, have been using that incorrectly with Yekko Warner saying good night, everybody. It was actually, he only said that when they made a joke that was literally, haha, we got this past the censors.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been misusing it a lot.
Okay, because I was like, wow, I've been completely misusing that because I looked it up on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, that's a joke that got past the censors. I get it.
That show was so clever.
It really was. They had a lot of interesting stuff. There was one thing that there was a joke on Pinky and the Brain where it was just extremely subtle because, you know, Brain was supposed to, his voice was supposed to be kind of like, I think it was Orson Welles that it's supposed to be making fun of. I don't, one of them is the writer, one of them is the actor, and I keep mixing them up. They're both Wells. He was supposed to sound like Orson Welles, and that was kind of the joke. Well, there is this kind of infamous thing that Orson Welles did when he was supposed to be recording a radio commercial for some peas, and he just kind of made a great big fuss over it and ended up storming out. They had an episode where Brain did that, and no one would get the joke if you didn't get the background, you know? That's something kids would never have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like, that's such a subtle joke. I know there was, like, probably storyboard guys are just laughing like crazy, but how do you get that verified to do a cartoon show for kids, you know? It's not like it was laugh-out-loud stuff. It was real subtle, and it's like, how do you do that kind of thing for a kid's show when everything has to be, okay, well, there's a poop joke. Now now the kids will be laughing. Let's keep it in. You know what I mean?
You know why I think they did that is they wanted to appeal to a wider audience because that helps you get much better ratings. Just the way they did it, slip it completely past the kids will never know. So it's still perfectly safe for kids, so you're not losing any of the kid demographic. But you're adding so much of this adult demographic because you have these subtle jokes that they're going to get.
Well, yeah.
I thought it was genius.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's even something I couldn't see a lot of adults even getting the joke of, you know, unless you knew that specific background. It was like, they're really going for, like, almost a niche audience here to make just a joke for it. And it was like a 20-minute long skit, you know. I was like, oh my goodness, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, it's kind of funny in a way because people that would be in that niche audience, the adults that would be, able to pick up on subtle things like that are generally, you have a lot of the more intellectual types
mm-hmm.
are also the same types that still have that inner child.
Yeah.
Where other types of adults, they're more average, you know, average things. They're not really the geek type or whatever you want to call them. They wouldn't understand the joke, but then they wouldn't watch a kid's show anyway because it's not considered adult and they wouldn't do it for that reason.
It's not extreme enough. I mean, it's like Halo. Halo is extreme, dude. Didn't you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
What you're talking about.
Everyone plays Halo. If you don't play Halo, you're not cool. Doesn't matter if there's.
I'm not part of the demographic. I'm sorry. I guess I'll go.
You know, I've never played it.
See,
two people
are on the demographic.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's right.
I don't.
Two of your podcast members don't play Halo.
I don't understand. I don't understand mm-hmm. how you could go through your life without playing Halo. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
I don't take the disc, break it up into little pieces, and snort it like crack.
I see math. I see math.
You guys want to know my take on all the first-person shooter games and why I don't play them? One, because I'm just not interested in them, and I don't want to knock them too much, because they're not bad. I mean, I can't say I've never played them. I've played Quake. And stuff, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty
I don't have anything bad to say about them. I get the impression that these first-person shooter games are partially funded by the military to get kids interested in that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I can definitely see that and say Call of Duty.
And first-person shooters are the most popular.
They are.
Well, and that's what gets me is when you go back and play the original Halo, you're kind of like, well, this is kind of a fun game. But I don't see how it was the Xbox seller, you know, when you compare it to, like, video games nowadays. because apparently that's what got Xbox into homes, was Halo. It was like Rob the Robot for the original Nintendo. Ha ha, joke no one gets.
I get it. I was around back then.
I wasn't.
Anyway.
Okay. I actually recently wrote some tips for podcasting for some people. I was like, yeah, you definitely want to have someone who can edit. I'll have to send it to you because I actually mentioned you like 3 times, like positively, not negatively or anything. I was like, well, you want to have someone that can host it. You got to find a site that can host it. And I said, my friend Nitro was kind enough to host it on his site. And you also need to be able to edit the podcast in some way, which my friend was also able to do. And he's a very good job at it. So
Kerydex can do it too, but he's just busy with other stuff.
Yeah.
He has dubs. Okay, so anything else you guys have to add in before we finish for the night?
It's nice to be back on a podcast after a long hiatus, and hopefully we'll be able to continue again soon.
Yeah.
Yep, it's nice to do this again.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. You know, I think we need to kind of brainstorm with some stuff more often. By the way, anyone who may be listening that has any questions, comments, or complaints, you can find us at nitrocosm.com. In the forum section, you can go. We have a page on Facebook. You can just look up our name. Nitro recently put on an RSS feed, so you can find us on iTunes and Zune and any other probably RSS feed compatible music program. And, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is TZM Hero, and I'm joined by, once again,
Nitrocosm
and Kelrod X, who is not Ruroni Starchild.
Yes, that's his full name. You can look him up on YouTube. His YouTube is http://www.youtube.com/KillRodX, not StarChild. We also have YouTube accounts if you guys ever want to look there. But yeah, beyond that, I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. The editing is done by Nitric Zone. Hosting duties is done by TZ and Harrow, I suppose. And the intro and outro was created by Ruroni Starchild. Thanks everyone for coming, and hope to see you all again.